indigenous. Tiffany's bruises would have seemed part of an exotic but over-familiar way of life. She had no bruises at the moment, so I assumed Andrew hadn't been visiting. I asked her where he was. She said, "He's back here, I think. Well, living at Oberon anyway. He's some sort of security guard at Janolian Caves. Britt, his sister, is on the game in Lithgow." I said, "I can think of easier places to be on the game." But the wire door clacked in the heat, and I finished less casually, "Speak of the devil," as Andrew walked in. Tiff whispered, "Hello, Andy Pandy," with the same petrified cuteness the Greeks must have evinced when referring to the Furies as the sweet ones. Then her face gently disassociated, and she looked like her cousin Jimmy in Cobham. Andrew fetched some beer from the kitchen. It was one of those thin, low-alcohol ones that seemed to make you drunk instantly. Tiff had forgotten to offer me anything to eat or drink, and I had genuinely forgotten to notice. I didn't anticipate violence. Wife-beaters hardly ever take on other men, but I was determined to outstay his visit to make sure she was safe, unless, God forbid, they had a reconciliation. I hadn't thought he was under the influence of drugs, but the beer triggered something, and his legs were now a bit splayed and unsteady. He held the edge of a walnut table tightly, displacing an ornate photo of Tiff holding Charlotte, and his face became inflamed. I said with strategic paternal exasperation, "I've had a tough day, Andrew. I don't need an ice attack as well." He seemed to have an ambivalent relationship with his literally satanic female relatives, but there was no evidence he hadn't been straightforwardly fond of his father. I didn't stand up, but eased my glass down, crossed my arms and cursed my lips. He shouted, "You're going to put me back in Bathurst." I said, not speaking quickly, "I'm not in probation anymore. I'm working for prisoners of conscience. I'd be trying to get you out of Bathurst." Not as a top priority, though. He pointed his glass at me. Fortunately, it wasn't broken and jagged, and then lunged straight down at me. The half-full glass hit my mouth, and my mouth bled against my bottom teeth with a swollen stinging. I put my head back, gave a theatrical sign, put his glass beside mine. Everything reeked of diluted yeast and barley, as if something hadn't fermented properly. I braced myself, but not for another onslaught, well, not an aggressive one. He slumped forward on his knees, with his head rolling back and forth against my legs, and sobbed in horror. Without my asking, he said, "I don't know where Charlotte is. I don't know where Charlotte is." I asked, "But it's the warriors from hell." He said, "Not the committee. It might be the Orchard Hills branch, but I offered to pay them the money back soon. I don't think so." I stabbed in the dark and connected, remembering who Larry Nichols had said was the owner of the Colloys burnt house in Acacia Place. "Is Smith involved?" Tiffany gave a moaning cry as if all hope was over. Andrew seemed at once completely sobered. I was courier up the coast for one of his lovers, and I realised they were dobbing on him somewhere. I don't know whether it was to the police or someone else, a rival. He might know I know something about it. His tone underlined that he wasn't going to say who or even what gender the lover was, but that would be the information Smith wanted, if Smith indeed had Charlotte. Or it might still be the Orchard Hills branch. At least it seemed less likely it was her white gran and auntie, the devil worshippers, I thought, with uneasy relief. Andrew went over to the couch and curled up sleeping. Tiffany covered him with a pink throw rug and asked me, "Will you drive him to the station?" I agreed. "I'll drop him off at Pendle Station for the Mount Victoria passenger, and Britt can pick him up at Mount Victoria." Even after so long, I still retained a probation officer's mental train timetable. I joined Tiff in the humid kitchen, where she was making a packet of cheese and lettuce sandwiches for him. She gave me slices of supermarket Gouda, reassuring it isn't one of the recalled ones. I had just begun to look out the window into the sun-blitzed backyard when thunder rumbled darkly from nowhere and rain streaked in lateral lumps against the pane. A chihuahua that had been rolling around under a vast stack of cut dry grass quickly jumped on top of that as puddles grew into wells around it. I remembered Claire. This was the parting that they had beside the haystack in the floods. The little dog on top of the haystack began turning in circles, looking around for something, turning in circles, looking around for something. Tiffany explained he used to do that for Charlotte. And I promised Claire in my head, I will find her.